The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for the second hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Great to be with you this morning, as always, whether we have lighter flare topics or heavy conversations. We are ready and always ready and willing to engage in it. Top of the next hour, we will be joined in studio to continue our conversations with the candidates by U.S. Senate candidate Joe O'Day. Looking forward to having him on and breaking down his views on the issues of the day, some of his background, and more. I do want to say, especially since we will be talking about K-12 schools this hour, or just take a moment to recognize that today marks 3 years to the day since the tragic shooting at the STEM school in Douglas County. Alexa sent a wonderful text just as we were starting the show. Praying for John and Maria Castillo today on the third anniversary of Kendrick sacrificing his life to save others. May Kendrick Castillo's life. This is my addition. May Kendrick Castillo's life never be forgotten, nor his sacrifice forgotten. It may be a reminder for all of us that we can do much to help those around us in that time of need. And a true hero, a teenager, giving his life, sacrificing his life for his peers, doesn't get more courageous or profound than that. May Kendrick Castillo rest in peace. And as Alexa says, prayers up for John and Maria Castillo today. Last weekend on the program, we had attorney Igor Rakin, who's been dealing with Title IX cases for over 10 years in schools. He's an attorney who has handled Title IX cases regarding issues of sexual harassment and assault and other issues on both sides, the accused and the accuser, in K-12 education and in the college level. And we delved into issues that, to me, are glaring at this point in the Cherry Creek School District. It's a topic I wrote about a couple of weeks ago on April 22nd in the Denver Gazette, entitled "Letting Predators Roam Our Schools." Then we've talked about it a couple of weeks ago when I filled in for George Brockler, which, by the way, I'll be doing from starting at 7:30. I'll be picking up the show 7:30 this Tuesday morning in for George. But 2 Mondays ago when I was in for George Brockler, we had the parents of an elementary school girl, Ben and Sarah, in studio to talk about the sexual harassment that their little girl had faced in elementary school. And so this is an issue that to me has been percolating and worthwhile for me to cover since a couple of Wednesdays ago when Grandview High School students and students from other high schools in the Cherry Creek School District walked out in protest of what they insisted was the mishandling of an issue of sexual assault on school grounds. That was April 20th. And then when a friend told me about that, I said, oh my gosh, Grandview? That walkout happened today, the one in Aurora, the one where I went to? And so that's when I decided I would cover that for my following column. And then I started looking into it, and that's when I introduced my guest, Mackenzie Sleesman, in just a few moments. That's the day that I got connected up with her for what ended up being some great quotes that really helped to put this issue into perspective in that column, "Letting Predators Roam Our Schools." Well, yesterday in the Denver Gazette, I amplified this story as I've been digging in more. And let me tell you, when I was a graduate from Grandview High School 2008, at that point, it was the cream of the crop as far as school districts were concerned. You really had parents clamoring to send their kids to the district. They were confident in the safety and top-tier education. But this year, in 2022, the district thrives on what I would call an antiquated reputation, because it is an antiquated reputation. And so when that Grandview walkout happened at all the high schools, hundreds and hundreds of students in Cherry Creek schools, they walked out to protest the mishandling of an assault on campus. The message was clear to the adults: do better. The victim's father was still waiting some sort of outcome for the school. This has been going on since November of last year. And it was only a couple of weeks ago, I think, that a resolution was reached and they said, we're suspending him for the rest of the year. And word came out about that outcome. But the father said to Denver 7, quote, she, this is the girl at Grandview, she sees the suspect typically every day. Cherry Creek hasn't taken appropriate action. That's what he said before they finally did take action. And that was after, by the way, charges had been filed in January. So what is going on here with these schools? Well, as I've learned in now nearly 20 hours of interviews with 11 Cherry Creek School District parents of student sexual harassment and assault victims, along with three teenage survivors themselves, one of whom you'll hear from momentarily, the Grandview students' experience isn't anomalous. And to be clear, what reportedly happened in her case is that she was touched over her pants in class in an area you should never be touched, unwanted, ever. And afterwards, the boy had whispered into her ear, your consent means nothing to me. Very chilling words. Well, elementary through high school, each story from the folks I talked to echoed the first. Much of the discussion implicates Title IX, the provision in federal law which guides schools in handling sexual harassment and sexual assault. Multiple parents asserted the district attributed an inability to pursue certain Title IX cases to changes made under the Trump administration. But that's not the case. In fact, we talked with Igor Rakin about that exact point, Title IX lawyer, just last weekend.
What's important to know is that there's nothing in the DeVos changes that actually prevent a school from taking meaningful protective steps in order to ensure the safety of their students. Okay? It just says that they have to conduct a fair investigation. Fine, conduct a fair investigation. But the school may still rely on disciplinary measures in the course of conducting that investigation so they can temporarily remove the student. Or if they determine after their investigation that this charges are actually founded, they can permanently remove the student. Another thing is that there is still an emergency protective mechanism in the DeVos changes as well. What those changes say is that if you have reason to believe that one student poses a physical threat to another student, there is nothing in the Title IX regulations that prevents you from actually moving that student. And by the way, Jimmy, let me make it clear. I deal with Title IX all the time. It seems that Cherry Creek Schools, they are the only district I have come across that is interpreting Title IX in this way. Other districts are still taking strong disciplinary actions in many of these Title IX cases. But I am getting more phone calls right now from Cherry Creek than from any other district. They are tolerating things that other districts are not.
So when you have student-on-student allegations that arise, and that's what we're talking about here, we're not talking about the instances of faculty or staff, Cherry Creek turns to something called no contact orders. I emailed the district and had gotten an answer or an explanation as to what these are. No contact agreements are both a supportive measure and a form of intervention under Title IX. The issuance of a no contact agreement is not determinative of the outcome of the Title IX investigation. These agreements are a tool also used in non-Title IX matters. So I asked how no-contact orders are supposed to be enforced, to which they replied, quote, "School staff enforce no-contact agreements. If a parent has a concern, they should reach out to the building principal." Not exactly an answer, is it? At best, no-contact agreements merely placate parents, and their implementation and application are inconsistent. Several parents said they weren't informed that these orders were even available, and when used, most said their children's orders were neither followed nor enforced. One student explained to me that she was instructed to sign a no-contact order without her parents being notified. She was confused. That was her word, confused over what it really was, but signed the paperwork anyway. The student assumed they conferred with her parents, quote, "I was surprised my mom didn't know anything until I told her." So what about no contact orders? What about the handling of these issues on campus by administration? In my first column, Letting Predators Roam Our Schools, I spoke with and included quotes from Mackenzie Sleesman, who is a 16-year-old junior at Cherokee Trail High School in Aurora in the Cherry Creek School District. And she had explained to me that a male student in class had kept touching her and bit her thigh. And strikingly, she says he told her, "Your consent means nothing to me." Those words heard from the Grandview suspect. And I've since learned that this has also come up among boys saying that phrase at Cherry Creek High School. Three high schools, same phrase. What's going on here? Let's talk about it with Mackenzie Sleesman, who joins me now in studio here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Good morning, Mackenzie.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming on. It really is truly brave of you to actually not just speak out in a column and give me some of your time so that I could include your experience and your thoughts, but to come on and actually speak about your experiences and what you have noticed in the school district. So thank you.
Yeah, of course.
So tell me just a little bit about yourself before we get into the specifics of what we're going here. Who's Mackenzie?
What are you going to know?
I don't know. Who is Mackenzie? What do you like? What are you interested in? What are your hopes, goals? Anything. You're going to be finishing up your junior year off to your senior year.
Yeah, I cannot believe that, honestly. But I'm like really into cars, like to stay busy.
Okay.
Love working, probably always working. So
good work ethic is important both in academics as well as when you go on to the real world. That's for sure. Are you, to me, that's also shows that you're a passionate person. You care when you care about something, you really put your heart and soul into it.
Mm-hmm.
Would that describe you?
Yeah.
Well, so given that, that helps to understand for those of us who are saying, okay, wow, you got a 16-year-old talking about this on the radio, that helps us to understand that. So tell me, when with this walkout, you organized Cherokee Trails walkout with some friends. Tell us what motivated you to do that and how that came about from your own experiences and talking with your friends about their experiences, making the conclusion, okay, this is something we should participate in.
So honestly, when all that stuff kind of like happened to me, like multiple times in a row, I just thought to myself, well, there must be, like, something wrong with me because, like, this doesn't happen to anybody else. So what is wrong with me for all these people to be doing these things to me? Because nobody ever really talks about it. So I wanted to, like, make this place for everybody to feel like they're not alone. And I want everybody to trust each other enough to be like, hey, I don't feel really comfortable in this situation. Is this what I think it is? Should I report it? Like, what should I do? So I just wanted to create that, like, safe spot for everybody. At the protest, I put out my phone number so everybody had a safe place to reach out if they needed something. But that was my main goal, and for the school to probably, hopefully, get rid of this so no other future generations have to deal with this.
That feeling of being alone, when, first of all, what is that like? Paint the picture a little bit, because you just described how you felt there was nowhere that you could really go. You were sort of on your own. I mean, you had very good support and help from your parents, but you still felt like you were the only one. And then you learn, oh gosh, this is really widespread.
Well, I guess the feeling of being alone is just like the school tells you you can't talk about it, or else you're going to get in trouble. You're going to break the no contact order because you can't talk about it. You can't tell your friends about it. You can't say any names. So even if you see that guy talking to one of your friends and like getting close to them, you can't say anything. So then you feel alone because you're distancing yourself away from that person because you don't feel safe around them, but everybody else is getting close to them. So you distance yourself away from everybody else just so you feel safe. So you feel alone and you can't tell anybody about it. And you think that those people are going to get hurt too because of what they did to you.
Tell me about these no contact orders. How does that come about? And when you signed it, what did it say? What were the obligations, and has it worked?
No, it doesn't work at all. I've had multiple no contact orders with many people at the school ever since I've been at Cherokee Trail. The dean took it to my classroom because apparently pulling me out of class is disrupting my learning environment. But they could pull me out of class for two periods and not talk to me. But coming in to my class and making me sign a no contact order in front of everybody, making everybody have questions, just being like, hey, sign here, and then just leaving.
Did you know what you were signing?
Because I've signed it before in the past. Okay. I knew what it was. If it was another person, I doubt they would know what it was.
Interesting in the classroom. So what does it say? What does these no contact orders instruct you and the other person to do? Because it's both of you, not just the person who,
It's supposed to be both of us.
Yeah.
You can't talk to them over social media. You can't talk to them face to face. You can't have another friend talk to them for you. You can't have any kind of contact whatsoever. And with the no contact agreement, you can't tell anybody why you have that no contact agreement. So technically it just states that if you don't follow the no contact agreement, there will be consequences, but it doesn't like state the consequences.
When it comes to no contact order, a sense that I've gotten, something I've been told, I think you might have even told me this, is that there's a feeling that you're being punished.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because you're having to apply to these specific rules.
And the fact that when I had the no contact agreement, the guy broke it the first day and nothing happened to him. I got put in the corner of the classroom and I can't move around the classroom, but he can go wherever he wants. I have an escort take me to the bathroom, but he can go wherever he wants still. So I just think that there needs to be a kind of in-between and not one-sided, because it feels like they're blaming the victim, which is not the victim's fault. It's the it's his fault. I hate to say it, but it is his fault, and he should have consequences for it.
One of the things that we've talked about in a previous conversation, we've just got a minute left here in the segment. We're talking with Mackenzie Sleesman, a junior at Cherokee Trail High School in the Cherry Creek School District, is this sense that you have to go through, and we heard this represented in the father's statement of the Grandview girl, that every day if you're at risk of seeing the person who did something to you like that, puts you in a very awkward position, very difficult position. How does that make you feel and other friends who maybe have been in similar situation?
Makes me feel scared that they're going to do it again. If they feel like they didn't have any consequences before, what makes them think that they're just not going to do it again? Because they know they have no consequences.
That's well put. Mackenzie Sleesman joining us here in studio. We're going to broaden out the conversation here because, look, this issue of no contact orders is something that was coming up repeatedly in interviews that I've had with parents as well as with a couple of other students. And the key thing is that they are not enforced, and they're just pieces of paper. We'll talk more about that and what's happening in Cherry Creek Schools. On the other side, here on News Talk 710 KNUS, you're listening to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Ah, some great words of admonition from both Walter Trout and the great Joe Bonamassa, singing about how we're all in this together. And when it comes to the safety of students in school, we are all in this together. We are talking here in studio with Mackenzie Sleesman. She is a 16-year-old junior at Cherokee Trail High School, which is in the Cherry Creek School District, one of their, I believe, five high schools in the district. And I'm a product of Cherry Creek Schools myself, having been a 2008 graduate of Grandview High School. And I must say, I'm very dismayed at what I have been learning in speaking with parents and students. You can read more in my column yesterday in the Denver Gazette entitled "Students Don't Feel Safe at Cherry Creek" regarding the district's handling of issues of sexual harassment and assault, whether that is on campus or off campus, and then the implications that can come from it afterwards. And I want to broaden out the issues a little bit here into some of the implications of the use of no contact orders, which we were talking about in Cherry Creek Schools and so forth. But I do want to answer just a couple of quick questions that have been coming in, because we are talking about when you get into the subject of whether it's sexual harassment and or sexual assault, these are very difficult topics to discuss. And I don't want to adjudicate any specific circumstances, even though Mackenzie has talked a little bit about some of the aftermath of her own experience, whereby, as I detailed in the Denver Gazette a couple of weeks ago, she had been touched inappropriately by a student in class and kept touching her and bit her thigh in class, saying, "Your consent means nothing to me," which apparently is a saying that high school boys are increasingly using, as it has come up in interviews with three different individuals that I did, which is, okay, so actually two different individuals. One was in the Grandview story that had been reported in the media that was said to that student, but three different high schools. And there's a question coming in from a listener. Why aren't her parents seeking a restraining order or filing a complaint with the appropriate police department? I spoke with her mother about this. And look, Mackenzie, you've had multiple issues of assault and harassment, sexual harassment in the past. And that's something that is, when you're going through a legal process or anything along those lines, it's not easy.
Yeah, it's hard.
In many respects, as far as getting action and as far as the toll that it can take on you. And so there are reasons relative to that those steps have not been taken in this particular instance. I will just let folks know who are interested in or curious about that. And understandably so, too. I mean, you think about what you have to go through in these proceedings and so forth, and that legal, and they can last years and so forth. But I do want to ask you to kind of put that into perspective a little bit. You had put out a survey, an anonymous survey to other students in Cherry Creek Schools, most of whom were respondents were from Cherokee Trail. Can you just share some of those responses to put, or whatever you wanted to sort of present that encapsulates some of the sentiments from victims or survivors of sexual assault and harassment that really helps to paint a picture, can help paint a picture for us as to what the toll is, what the significance is of what's happening in that regard?
Yeah, sure.
And again, we're talking with Mackenzie Sleesman. She's a 16-year-old junior at Cherokee Trail High School.
Awesome. Okay. So one of the questions was, have you ever reported anything that has ever happened to you? 39.1% said no, and 60% said yes. Have you ever notified the cops? 3% said no, and 26% said yes. To me, that's just crazy. And then there was also another question that said, when you reported it to the school, what did they do about it? One response was nothing. They had me write a no contact form, write an incident report, and it continued to happen to me in the hallways. And every time they said that they were going to call me back down to the deans, they never did. They didn't take it. They didn't make it a priority. Another one was took my statement. Never told me anything after that. Another one was no contact agreement, nothing else. So a lot of these are just no contact agreements, and then they do nothing else. Teacher moved my seat. Told my parents I was a danger to them, to myself, and that I needed to get therapy. Deans and cops said that there wasn't enough evidence. Mm-hmm. I told a trusted teacher that I was uncomfortable. And they told me I'd be fine and that I can handle it myself. And then another question was, do you see your assaulter at school every day? And 27% said no. And 72% said yes. 91% is male. 8.7% is female. So it does still happen. Females are still...
You mean as far as who is the assaulter, according to these students. So, Mackenzie, what we're talking about here in the context of the school in particular is, say, when you have an issue with a student and then you're able to even show or document issues of sexual harassment, assault, what have you, they may conduct an investigation, draw conclusions from that. A lot of times these are interim steps. For example, like a no contact order, supposed to be something that should provide some sort of separation. I want to play a clip of Igor Rakin, again, Title IX attorney we had on the program last weekend, and he sort of put into perspective a little bit about what these no contact orders, in his view, really are.
Well, this is the appearance of doing something without the reality of actually doing something. I mean, let's think about a no contact order in a high school for a second and the practical elements of trying to enforce it. Grandview has about, I think, 2,200 students, somewhere around there, give or take. Mm-hmm. Teachers are teachers. They're not law enforcement, okay? They're not experts in these no contact orders. There's only a handful of security guards in a school. There may be a school resource officer. Not everybody's going to be able to monitor every single situation. So that being the reality, you know that this is just not going to work. Plus, it has no actual legal effect. With a regular, let's say, restraining order, if the person violates the restraining order, that can become an arrestable criminal action. With a no-contact order or no-contact piece of paper, that doesn't actually convert into any kind of a criminal element there. It's just a piece of paper.
It's just a piece of paper. What do you make of what Attorney Igor Rakin said there from your experience?
Because it is. Nobody follows it. It's you just sign it and it goes in a file and you never see it again.
So there are some instances where certainly no contact orders in certain schools will be enforced. I've heard of a couple of instances where they actually did do their best in the school to separate. But from interviews that I had with not only yourself, and speaking with your mother, Mackenzie Sleesman, but with others as well, it's striking to see how often they are not even not followed, according to what others have said. So, for example, Sarah Butler, whose daughter's story at Antelope Ridge Elementary was reported by Fox 31 and Denver 7, and I had on the George Show a couple of weeks ago, told me, quote, the no contact contract never really existed. They ended up having to move their daughter to a different school. One student explained that she was instructed to sign a no contact order without her parents being notified. She was confused over what it really was, but signed the paperwork anyway. The student assumed they conferred with her parents. Quote, I was surprised my mom didn't know anything until I told her, she said. Another mother said a dean told her daughter, the rules of a no contact order are already in place. It's just a piece of paper. You don't really need it. And no contact agreements reflect one source of communication breakdown, in my view, as I wrote in my column yesterday, Mackenzie. One parent explained how her child's sexual assaulter's parents didn't know anything was wrong until a restraining order was issued. And in instance after instance, I was hearing about these no contact agreements not having any force, not being followed, not being abided. It was just sort of a way to placate parents. What's your sense for that?
Well, like school curriculum, if it doesn't work, they change it. So if the no contact agreement isn't working, why aren't they changing it? Because it's obviously not working for many students. So if a book is not getting the right education out to the kids, they're going to change it. So if this no contact agreement is not working, they should change it.
Well said. Mackenzie Sleesman, 16-year-old junior at Cherokee Trail High School in the Cherry Creek School District, joining us in studio. We're going to take a break. We'll wrap up our conversation on the other side here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. A couple other aspects of this to dive into as we continue. News Talk 710 KNUS. We're back on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS, wrapping up the second hour of the show with Mackenzie Sleesman in studio. She's a junior at Cherokee Trail, but I want to broaden this discussion out a little bit as we talk about Cherry Creek School District handling of sexual harassment and assault issues in schools. Per my column yesterday, students don't feel safe at Cherry Creek. One middle school mother who I interviewed, whose daughter moved classes to avoid being in the same room as the perpetrator in her instance, said, quote, "It makes me afraid to send my children to school." That's Ashley Johnson is the mother. "I felt like she was being punished for something she has no control over. I felt like they just didn't care." Multiple parents reported changing schools or even pulling their child altogether. Quote, "This is what keeps happening. The girls move schools," lamented one survivor's mother. Molly Lamar is a parent of a harassment victim. She's now a candidate for State Board of Education, noting, quote, "It's clear there is little trust between families and school authorities at this time. Parents don't feel confident their children will be protected from predators, and understandably so." A high school mother bemoaned in her interview with me, quote, "I did trust them blindly. I thought they knew what was best." Another parent noting the following that a dean told her daughter, "The rules of a no contact order are already in place. It's just a piece of paper. You don't really need it." Look, without question, due process is critical. We have a text that came in from a former school administrator noting about how complicated these situations can be. And now there may be more, there often are, circumstances and issues that people may not be aware of completely or following along with. But I have to tell you, when I am interviewing a number of parents and hearing about these procedures that are supposedly in place and notions like the no contact orders and interviewing folks like Igor Rakin, Title IX attorney who says Cherry Creek, we heard the clip before, Cherry Creek Schools is doing something that other school districts don't do. That to me shows that there's a problematic pattern specifically in Cherry Creek Schools. And Mackenzie, I'm having you in studio as one student who, of course, had your own issue that involved no contact order, other things that were in place. But you're one student of others and other situations. So in that regard, what do you think folks should know about the big picture of what you're understanding and you're seeing is happening all too often in the school district?
I mean, in my opinion, the fact that these things keep happening, something's not working. And I think all the kids understand that, and I think that's why it keeps happening, because there's no consequences for it. If a kid gets into a fight, they get suspended for so many days. If a kid assaults a girl, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, it's not that harmful and it's not that physical, but it's still assault. And they should still get consequences for that. If they know that they're going to get suspended for how many other days or weeks, or if they get moved to another school, or if they have to go online, that's a consequence. And they would understand that and be like, you know what? I should maybe think about my words. I should think about my actions before I do them.
The Grandview walkout was not just the Grandview walkout. It was Cherokee Trail. You helped organize the one at Cherokee Trail High School. There are the other high schools in the district also had students walk out. What's the sense among the students? Why did they do that, and what are they hoping for? I mean, there's going to be a school board meeting coming up this Monday. But what's your sense for in that regard, and what the objective or goals were from that that they would like to see moving forward? Because clearly this isn't just one student that is speaking, because you're on the radio now.
Yeah. I put a thing out and asked what kids, like, what the school should be doing about this. And a couple of the responses that kind of, like, spoke out to me was he should be removed from the district. It happened to multiple people, close to 20 that I know of. So if it's happening to multiple people, why is that kid still there? I mean, when I reported the guy that sexually assaulted me, they...
In a previous...
The dean's quote, he's on a winning streak. Now, how is that okay? Mm-hmm. If he's on a winning streak, why is that allowed? Mm-hmm. If he's doing this to multiple people, there's obviously an issue.
So what... There is a sense that this is, and I mean, at least in terms of the handling, that's what we're talking about in particular, is that there's sort of a pattern of how a lot of these things are handled. Real quick, what do you want the school district to know or to do? Because we've got about 30 seconds left here.
Probably to set an actual consequence instead of a no contact agreement, because the no contact agreement is not working. Mm-hmm. So I think we get rid of the no contact agreement and pretty much figure out a new way.
Thank you, Mackenzie, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
Great job. We're going to take a break. Next hour, we're going to be shifting gears. U.S. Senate candidate Joe O'Day will join us here in studio on News Talk 710 KNUS. And I'll have some quick closing thoughts on this conversation.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.